Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Elizabeth is the CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, a leading multimedia provider of lifestyle content. The Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. It's where you'll find inspirational and encouraging stories, advice, and information with our radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Real people, real advice, real places, real products and businesses, real life stories, and more, including real celebrity life. Be your best and keep it real, confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You. Now, here's your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Hey, that actually worked. Hi, Sandra Robinson. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you so much.
Good, yeah, we're going to wing it. You and I have had technical issues back and forth now for about a week, and it's been kind of funny, but you know what, we're here.
Oh my goodness, it's been crazy.
It's been crazy, but you know what, we're here, and I think that's what matters, right?
Absolutely, let's have some fun.
Yeah, let's have some fun for an hour, and let's help other people be their best, because I know that's really what you specialize in, only for, you know, on-camera things, and which is a huge thing right now, because everybody, you know, bad lighting and bad TV is scary, and I think that's really neat that you help people be their best on TV. So I think we're going to have a great hour, and I want to just rattle off your website really fast, so people following along, if they, you know, people always follow along on the internet, if they want to click and look at your website while we're, you know, going through this, they can. It's charismaoncamera.com, which is spelled charismaoncamera.com. So Charisma on Camera, and welcome the beautiful, my goodness gracious, you couldn't be any more pretty, Sandra Robbins. Hi.
Can you talk about lighting? That's a lot of it. Photographs, good lighting. Good photographer, yeah. Good lighting. You can train with you all the time.
So you're. Tell me a little bit about your background.
Sure.
You're really an actress, and you've moved into some of these newer things, or
I started. You know, I was raised in a small town outside of, and she's going, oh my gosh, she's starting back that far. Don't worry, it won't be my whole life.
Oh no, okay.
But
you're gonna need it.
I was raised, born and raised in Western Pennsylvania, and in no way was I at all connected to anybody that was in show business, as I called it when I was a little girl. So I don't really know where it came from, this desire to, you know, to be an actor, to be involved in the business, but one way or another, blind faith, you know, it's the secret teaches that you just have it focused on or whatever. But I ended up, you know, getting somebody's attention as far as modeling, and then I went into commercials locally, and I went as high as I could go with that, and someone came on a scout and brought me up to New York City, and actually that someone is my manager to this day, but he brought me up to New York City. I auditioned over a summer, and when I was supposed to be going to college in the fall, I started working in TV. I started working in my first soap opera, and my parents really weren't up for it. They're like, nope, you're going to college. And at that time, it was a huge amount of money to me to get paid $800 a day. And so I said, they're paying me $800 a day. There was only a slight pause, and my parents said, we'll help you pack. So that was it, and I was off and running. And I was on that show, which was called Another World, no longer on the air. I was on that show for a total of 9 years, and I've done six or now in my seventh soap. So soaps have been, you know, a rather reliable source of income for me over the years, although the one I'm in now, interestingly enough, there's a bunch of us from the soap opera world, and some have been in it for decades, and we're all working on the number one indie web show, which is called The Bay, the Series, and we've been number one, really, I think, since it came out. So for us, I kind of jokingly say we don't get paid a lot for it, but it's kind of like the modern-day community theater. we want to be involved, so we're all doing it, and it's an incredible cast, and it's a lot of fun, and new episodes come out actually on Thursdays, so you can look us all up on The Bay, the Series, and you'll be able to see it. But aside from that, acting has been great to me, but it also, and I did nighttime shows as well. You'll see me pop up on some guest star appearances in nighttime shows, but even now. But my focus really is on my business and how I came about working with experts in any field and helping them look and feel like rock stars in front of the camera was because when I developed a fan following, soap opera fans are very loyal, very loyal. They asked me to represent like skincare, to do infomercials, to stand up on stage and host charity events and record it on video. And of course I said yes for two reasons. Charity, I wanted to help out, and anything they were paying me for, it didn't come from money. So if I was able to do this, I just said yes. You know, if it was offered, I said yes. So, and I would stand there and wait for a script to come in my hand, and I could hide behind a character, and they would say, "Oh, sweetie, just be yourself." And that was total foreign land to me. It was scary. I had very low self-esteem, and I was very shy, and I hid behind those characters, as I think actually I've discovered a lot of actors actually do. And they're not necessarily comfortable with who they are, and that's one of the reasons they're so good at what they do, is because they submerge themselves in a character. And I totally respect the art of acting for that. But acting and being yourself on camera, hosting, or even, as I say, hosting your business on a video or in visual media as a guest expert or in any other visual media format, and I'd love to go over some of that today with some of your people, representing your business, being yourself is a whole different game than acting.
Well,
and
sure.
It was a
and
very, very hard road for me to learn.
Yeah, especially, you want to go right to the internet and just, you know, I see all of these videos. I even do them sometimes, but I just keep them in my Facebook or whatever, and, you know, I'll pop on my webcam and, you know, say hi, how are you, and everything. And,
yeah.
You know,
you can do a lot more with those, Elizabeth. I'm going to talk to you. You can do a lot more with those videos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we will hear in a minute, but, you know, for example, you know, like just on Skype, I always joke, I'm not getting on Skype with you. My hair and makeup isn't done. There's no way I'm hopping on Skype with anybody because it's bad lighting and I look really strange. Is there anything that you can do? If you're in your house and you want to do a webcam video, is there anything you can do to make it, you know, better if you don't have all the money for lighting and all that stuff?
No, there's thousands of things that you can do, actually. And one of the things that I address, I mean, even what I call my foundational training, like the basic stuff, and I really work, just so you know, I really work more with people from the inside out, and I have a production team that is awesome. We just really launched, and you'll see on the Charisma on Camera website that there's a, under services, you'll see there's production possibilities, but particularly for people here in L.A., we had to come up with that, you know, and if there's any real specific questions about that, that's kind of who I refer to. But the basic idea behind making sure you look good, to be quite honest, if you're shooting your video or your blog, or you're doing a webinar or you're doing Skype, set your camera up in a place in your home and test the lighting. You know, if you're using your webcam on your computer, hopefully it's a laptop and you can move around. Because I do that. I move around and I check what I look like before I get on Skype if I'm going to have an important meeting with somebody, because I want to make sure they can see me, my eyes, and we can actually have a legitimate conversation. And I'm not backlit, because I had that happen the other day when I sat down to do a session with somebody and the sun was coming through the blinds. She said, "I can't see you." So I had to pick up and move because we had to have that eye-to-eye contact. But definitely you want to make sure that you're not sitting with an overhead light. Guys do this a lot. They really do. They don't think about it. Guys will sit underneath a bare bulb. Like, dude,
spotlight from the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, you want to sit with an ambient light. It's always nice to have a nice warm light, and you want to face the brightest source of light. So even if you're outside, you want to be facing the sun, not necessarily having the noon sun over your head. You want to be able to have the sun either reflected, preferably reflected, off of, you know, pavement or a building or something, and evenly lighting your face. It's all about even lighting. And so, you know, play with that. I'll tell people, and I have a DVD you'll see on the site. It's the first of many, but the foundational DVD is out there. And I have a whole chapter on showing people the mistakes that people make when they're shooting at home, including, you know, the lighting. And there are ways that you can actually take, like, your house lights. And you don't have to buy a lighting kit. If you're going to be doing regular video blogs and it's going to be a big thing for your company, you might want to invest in a light or two. It might be a couple of $100s, but if you're going to have your studio set up all the time where you can hop in front of the camera and get information out to your followers, then you might want to invest in it. That way you don't have to be scrambling. It's just set. But I also talk about, look, watch for things that are in the background. You know, I have people, very, very smart, educated people that say, I'm going to do this video and I do it at my desk so I look like I'm working. The problem is For instance, one of these women was a financial expert. Not my client, by the way. But if we were talking about becoming affiliated and we were discussing, you know, each other's businesses and how we might work together. And she sent out these videos and I looked at it. And now a financial expert, there are certain experts that have to have an image and you have to consider what people are looking for. If you're a financial expert, people are going to want to know that you have it together, that you have your I's dotted and your T's crossed and that you are organized and you are straightforward and trustworthy. Organized does not be reflected. It doesn't be it's not reflected when you sit in front of a messy bookshelf.
Right.
So think about that. She sat down and she had Post-its all over behind her, which to me doesn't look like she has, like she's together. Post-its to me are reminders of things that you might forget. So if it looks like she might forget a lot of things, I don't want her talking to me about finances.
It's like that's your name up there on the Post-it.
Oh, messy bookshelves, a lot of pictures behind you that might draw the attention away. Even a beautiful work of art might draw the attention away from you and your message. So really look at what's behind you as well as how you're being lit, and sound is hugely important. Make sure that they can hear you. If you have to buy an additional microphone for where you're going to shoot, then do that, because nothing is worse than being interested in somebody's video or the message that they have to share and you can't hear them.
Yeah. Do you have to be as beautiful as you are to be on camera? I mean, my goodness.
Gracious,
are you cute? You're just beautiful.
Oh, that's really sweet. Thank you. I don't thank my parents for that. But
if we don't all look like you, can we still be on camera?
Oh, absolutely. Because here's the thing. It's that charisma is not about looks. It's absolutely not about being perfect. That's the biggest thing that I can share with folks. And sometimes it was the hardest thing for me to let go of. Because realize I started in modeling. I had done pageants for a little while, and then I had gone into soap operas. All of them are based on prettiness, if you think about that. Soap opera people are made up and fixed up every day to look glamorous when the character wakes up in bed, right? Mm-hmm. So I had a real tough time understanding that perfection is not what draws people to you. In fact, one of the best lessons I learned from an acting coach was we are drawn to the imperfectness in each other, which is so true. If you think about it, even our movie stars that we're most drawn to that become icons are the ones with the brokenness. It's James Dean. It's Marilyn Monroe. 30 years after Marilyn Monroe died, she showed up on the cover of Vogue. Why? We're still fascinated with her because there was a brokenness in here. Yes, she was very pretty, but it was the brokenness that we were attracted to, not the looks. There's plenty of beautiful women out there.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
You know,
I think that's a great lesson right there. I mean, just that right there, because I think everybody's all afraid, you know, people are notorious for being afraid for how they look on camera. Do I have a good side, a bad side? Is my hair done right or whatever? And do you think your message is what's, I think what you're saying also is that your message is what's important, and it can get lost if you do some of the wrong things.
It can totally get lost. It can totally get lost. And the biggest way that it gets lost is actually being you, the person on camera, the expert. I'm going to say expert, meaning everybody that's listening that's considering using video or should be using video already for their business. The expert, you know, when they're in the wrong mindset, when they're thinking about how they look or they're worried or they're thinking of trying to have memorized their message, there's a lot of mistakes that they can make. That message will be totally not felt. And one of the biggest secrets that I can tell somebody is, I mean, there's so many, but when you talk about, you just got into something there, I'm trying to think of which point it was. Well, I'll share this one with you anyway. The fear of being, I know what it was, not being able to look at yourself, not liking the way you look on camera.
Yeah.
There's something that I come up with, and it's a term that I'll share with people, especially when I work with them. I see it happen all the time. It was so common that when I first started my business, I said, I have to name this. Because it's that thing that everybody sees themselves for the first time on camera. It's like the first time you hear yourself on your voicemail. You're like, that can't be me, right? It's the same thing.
Right?
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God. Yeah,
that can't be me. Yeah. And, you know, I'm one of those people that even now I find it's really hard for me to not redo my voicemail message like 17 times until I actually like it.
Yeah. Yeah,
so we all do it.
Too. You can't read, you know, it's interesting, too. It's a one-shot deal sometimes. You know, if you're really live, like we are, we're live on the radio right now, and it's a one-shot deal. So whoever's listening is listening, and, you know, we are what we are, and we're going to say what we're going to say and so forth. But do you think nerves come across on TV as well? What do you do if you're if you're super nervous.
I'll get to that. In fact, what I was saying about the it actually feeds right into the point I was going to make, which is the term that I had to come up with for people that can't watch themselves. And everybody does it. Everybody does it because we're not used to seeing ourselves. We look in the mirror and we position ourselves in a certain way so that we feel good before we walk out the door. Right? We look at our good side, we give ourselves that perfect smile, and we think that's what we look like. And we hope that's what we look like. And then when we see ourselves in a moving picture on camera, we see all kinds of things that we are not aware of. And to be quite honest, we often see things that don't exist. You know, I see people say to me, oh, I blink too much, or my nose is crooked, my lips are funny, my teeth look awful, my hair is stringy. And I, for one, said all of these things. So when I first started, but we don't see that. We just see you as a beautiful you and the message that you're trying to get across. The thing that people have to understand is, I call this the tunnel of self-deprecation. And it's a tunnel because if you watch yourself enough and if you play on camera enough, you will get through it. If you don't watch yourself, you're never going to be comfortable watching yourself on camera. That's just it. And some people get through that tunnel really quickly, and some people have to spend a little extra time there. I had to get through it because I started working with a coach, and he forced me, because I signed up for 10 sessions. I had to sit there and go through it. That was it. Like, I had no choice. I had to watch it. And I see people go through that tunnel in the time that they work with me, as long as they just watch. And then they get through it, and they're able to watch themselves. And at some point, they actually say, hey, I did a really good job, or I look pretty cute there. That's when I know that they've gotten through it. And the thing is, once you get through that tunnel, you're done. You don't go back in. You don't have that awkward thing of looking at yourself. So that's one of the good things to realize, that everybody feels that way in the beginning. And a lot of the stuff that you see is either brought on by nerves. Very few people really do blink too much, but a lot of people think they do. But if they do happen to blink too much, I usually don't even acknowledge it, because I have seen behavior that comes up from nerves, and as soon as we get focused on their message, it goes away. I've seen people hold their head sideways. Seriously, they hold their head kind of funny, and it's nerves. You know, blinking too much, it's nerves. Not smiling, nerves. All of these things are nerves. And yes, that, for instance, not smiling, you say their nerves undermine you. Absolutely. You know, if you're not smiling because you're nervous, not smiling comes across as either not being interested in what you're doing or not being honest. Or, you know, it can be, depending on your visual brand and what your product or your message is, it can really undermine you. And people think, but I'm pleasant. I look angry because you're not smiling. Mm-hmm. So smiling is a huge, huge thing. Even smiling at the right moments if you're talking about a serious topic. You can always lighten it. In fact, if you have a serious topic, I love working with people like that, because there's a certain way you have to layer things with lightness in order to be able to keep people listening. Mm-hmm. Because they'll get uncomfortable. If you talk about child abuse, and you get into examples, people get uncomfortable and they back off emotionally. Right. And you want to be emotionally connected with them. You want to have rapport with the people that are watching you. And that, a big part of that is just, you know, being in the moment, being yourself, having those nerves just pushed aside, and lightening, you know, some of the heavy subject matter by, you know, believe it or not, humor. But not uproarious humor. It could be humor, lightness. It could be self-deprecating humor. There's a way that you can work that in so that it keeps them engaged and not to the level of discomfort that they check out.
Yeah.
And you want them engaged. That's the key, is to engage people at all times. And the way to engage people right off the bat is keeping your energy up high. So when you're about to do your video, or you're about to, you know, get on camera for any reason, make sure that your energy is much higher than you think it even has to be. Because when I work with people, I've had them do jumping jacks in front of the camera. And they watch it back and they go, wow, it really doesn't look that stupid. Your energy can be what you think is through the roof, and it looks on camera absolutely normal.
You know, that is so true. You know, I don't have the soap opera experience you have, but I have commercial experience and lots of speaking experience. And the one thing I always notice, I'm so glad you brought that up, is that everything is so much smaller on camera. You can do your hair up 5 inches high above your head, go on camera, and it looks normal. In person, you look really strange, and you really do.
Surely you think
but
you
on
do.
Camera,
yeah.
So I have this rule, like whatever, like if I'm going to do a media, interview or something like that, and it's on TV, or you know anything that's on TV, I have to almost make myself look silly in the mirror, and then I know I've got it right.
Right,
so much
exactly.
And so much hair, And so if my kids are looking at me like, oh, my gosh, Mom, what did you do to your hair? I know I've got it right.
Yeah, that's, you're pretty dialed in then. Yeah. I know it's very true. It's very true. And there's so many different ways. Like you mentioned media exposure. And I try to encourage a lot of my experts that, you know, that see that as a possibility to go ahead and, you know, go for that. You know, get out there, do radio like this, but do television. Get out there in visual media, because when people can associate you as an expert visually, then nothing can build your brand, your recognition, your trust factor faster than visual media, meaning getting out there with your videos, marketing them online, you know, doing a YouTube channel and sending your followers there to get their tips for the week or whatever, and getting in front of a TV camera as an expert, as a guest.
Yeah.
And it can do amazing things for your business, but you have to be ready for it. And what I mean by that is if you have a product that you're, excuse me, that you're representing, make sure that you have that product ready and you know, people are going to be looking you up. Make sure you have it ready to go and you have somewhere for them to get in touch with you, and that you can, you know, you can follow up with the needs that they have. If you're going to be out there, make sure that that you have all of your bullet points, that you have your message down and solid, and you have your sound bites. And if people think they know what sound bites are, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's the little pieces of information about you that make you different, make you stand out. One of my clients is a financial expert. She has a saying that is, don't be scared, be prepared. And she puts that into a lot of the guest appearances and things that she does, and she does many. She's actually a regular on the news at this point.
Right.
And she still shows up on, like, all the other major networks. But that's one of the things that makes people go, oh, yeah, I remember her. And her, you know, that also shows her philosophy as far as investing, which is be prepared. Don't, you know, she's a little on the conservative side. So that's her, be prepared, don't be scared, go out there and, you know, invest, but do it carefully. That's her whole thing. So that little phrase that people equate with her is part of her brand. And if you have those little things like that to take with you, and you know, obviously you're an expert in whatever your subject matter is. So if you have some facts and figures, some bullet points on what your, you know, field of expertise is, take all that stuff with you. That's a toolbox that when you sit down in front of these people to be interviewed, you can look like a rock star. Your mindset is good, and you have that fear under control. And the other thing about keeping, you know, can I share a fear tip? Because people say, how do I get rid of the nerves? We've already said they can undermine you, but would you like to know a secret to how to get rid of them?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay. I work with people, and when I'm working one-on-one with them, or even in a small group, like I had, we just finished a three-day event here in L.A., and I worked with a few people on this, to actually take them through an exercise where I ask them to actually name that fear. If somebody is debilitated by fear, you know, I've had people that have had actual anxiety attacks over looking at the studio before they've even set foot in it because they're so anxious. And what I say is, understand that the fear is a part of you that's a good part. It's there for a reason. It's there to protect you. And it's there to protect you so that you can become what you really want to become, which is successful, whatever that means to you. So if you're feeling the pull of having to do some sort of visual media, and you know that it's necessary for your business, and it is, and I'll love to share a little bit of that, why it's so necessary. But if you're feeling that pull and you're uncomfortable and you have this overwhelming fear, actually sit down, look at that fear, and picture, what does it look like? Does it have a face? Does it have a name? I tell people, name it. I have one girl that named her fear George. I don't know why, but she named it George. And so whatever your George looks like, you can, you know, when those butterflies start and you start to go, oh, my gosh, and you start to panic, you just feed that panic. You know how you can get worse and worse, and your knees start shaking,
oh, yeah,
and it gets worse. I did this, so I know. I lived
stage
in that for
that
7 years.
Too. Like
if
you go out on stage, you know, you can really
forget
words, forget lines, forget songs. All sorts of crazy things happen when you're scared.
Exactly. And this will work for that for speaking as well, where, you know, acknowledge that George that you have, that thing, once it starts, that little butterfly, that little, you know, feeling inside of your body, wherever it surfaces for you, and go, oh, there you are. Yep. Expect it. It's not going to go away. It's there to protect you. Your George is there to protect you. So the thing is, have a little chat with
George before it's doing anything,
It's like, thank you so much, George, but, you know, I really don't need you right now. But I'll tell you what, you can come along, just sit in the back seat, you know. And I tell people, like, actually physically hold that part of them in their hand, put it behind them, physically take their hand and put it behind them as if it's in the back seat. But now your fear is back there riding along with you, and it's going to stay quiet. It better stay quiet. It's in the back seat. It's not going to be talking to you, so those little voices in your head that say you're not good enough in whatever way they do are not going to surface, because you now have to give yourself, you have to give your mind something else. You put the kid in the back seat, right? And you're telling me to be quiet. Now you have to focus out the front windshield. And that means your focus has to go on your message and who you are approaching. Who are you helping? Whose life are you changing with your message and what you offer? Because if your focus is on that, you know,
then
there's no way
that
you can be thinking. Yeah, there's no way you can be thinking about that.
Yeah, you know, I do something in my purse. I carry this. It's very little, but it's a little notebook. And whenever I have to do anything in public, I'm probably much like you. In reality, I'm very, very, very shy. And my job and what I like to do strangely calls for me to be in front of people. And it just just like you. And so I have this little notebook, and I have 20 things written. And it's like my little pep talk before I do anything. And it's my grounding reminder so that that little George fear goes away, but I always open it up before everything, and it's like a list of 20 things like, hey, you look really cute. Hey, you're really well-spoken. Hey, you know, all the things that you're freaked out about are written down. So it's my little chat I have. So that's interesting that that really is, because that's just something I do, but I wondered if other people really have that problem. And it sounds like a vast majority of people do. I want to take just 1 second here and direct people back to your website, because I really love this. And it's, we're talking with Sandra D. Robinson. She's an actor and a media trainer and just a really beautiful person, too. My goodness gracious. I kind of Raquel Welch looking to me. You're just beautiful. Anyway, okay. So charismaoncamera.com is your website. And on there I clicked products, and I love this. It's called Own Your Own Space. And there's a DVD and a workbook that people can buy. It's only $165, which sounds like a great investment in yourself. What is that? What do you teach on there?
That, actually, I've referred to it before real briefly. It's a foundational training. So when you work with me privately or in a, you know, one of our three-day workshops or something, there's a certain process that I start with people, and it basically just takes all this foundational stuff so that people can build on that. So as I mentioned, you know, a lot of it's mindset. But a lot of it is actually physical grounding and making sure that you feel comfortable with your image, which talks about, you know, I talk about everything on there from your background. Like we were talking logistically, how do you set up your set, right? What do you look at, you know, what do you make sure is going to make you look like a professional if you're shooting your own thing. But here's the deal. Even if you pay somebody to shoot your stuff, you want to know kind of basically how you look good. Because just because you pay somebody to take your video doesn't mean that they necessarily know what they're doing. So
is that the truth?
Seriously. It's very true.
So, find out or something.
Yes. Well, it helps to know, you know, it's kind of like you realize that you, if you hire somebody to do your video, it's up to you, really, because you're the producer of that. You're paying them, right?
Yeah.
So if you think of it that way, the more you understand about how you look good and the way you want to come across and what fits your brand, the better off your video is going to be overall. And if you have somebody that is really talented, you can share that with them and they will accept it and they will, you know, they'll work with you. And that's, you want to come from a point of strength and knowledge when it comes to getting yourself in front of the camera. You want to know what looks good and what is foundationally important. And I talk about stance. I show you how to lose 10 pounds in 5 seconds by just the way you position yourself. Really, you know, I talk about clothing.
I was going to ask you about that next after we kind of talked about this. I was going to ask you about weight and clothes, so we'll come back to that
one.
Keep going.
And I talk about mindset on there and how to get your message just so. The things that if you're going to be doing a video, a pitch video, a video for sponsors, a video for your clients that you're going to put on your website, there's a certain, like, easy formula to that. But I shared the beginnings of that. I shared how to get your energy up and why it's so important to have it up in the first few seconds. And these are the foundational things that I teach every one of my private clients. Now, obviously, when I'm working with a private client, I get very specific on what that individual needs. And on a DVD, I can't do that. And if you're more interested, you know, but this is the stuff that you need to have. It's kind of like the groundwork that you're going to build everything on. And the stuff that's on the foundational DVD is actually things that it's a lifelong stuff that you will just build on the more you are in the media or the more you're working with cameras or visual media in general. So that's why it's called the foundational DVD. A lot of people said they wanted to know more about interviews, either side of the desk, giving or receiving, you know, interviews. And that's going to be one of the next things that pops up. We're going to be building a separate part of the site when more of these trainings are going to be available, and they're actually going to be downloadable. So that way you can watch it on your iPad as opposed to having it on an actual DVD. DVDs don't go into iPads very well.
Not so much.
Well, you can try, but it doesn't work. So we decided let's make this more effective for everybody because I notice more and more people carry their, if it's not an iPad, it's something similar to that. So, or maybe even their BlackBerry or something. So this is downloadable to all of those formats as well as your computer. And we'll have that up, I'm hoping, by the end of October. So that'll be a whole separate part. But right now the DVDs are, you know, the foundational one is available. And you get that right through the website. But that's kind of where we're starting to head off, you know. And then other more detailed training downloadable information will be coming at the, you know, through October, November, December, and we're going to be building that up. So even if you can't make it to work with me personally and you don't live in LA, you can still get that information and start building your visual brand, because it's so important for companies to understand how necessary it is in order to utilize video and visual media for their business.
I could see you being really, really useful also in a corporate setting where maybe you have some new executives, you know, new to their role, or you're grooming executives for public speaking, or maybe DVDs that go out for human resources purposes from the, you know, the higher management and so forth. Do you do any of that yet?
For training? Yes, I'm currently working with somebody that is part of a direct marketing company or network marketing company, whatever you want to call it. But everybody's throwing out different terms for it now. But, yeah, that's one of the things is training for a multi-level company like that is so important. It has to be so consistent. So they're looking now at actually utilizing video in order to do that. That's one of the many, you know, interesting ways you can use video. Some other ways, if, you know, if somebody's listening right now and they say, well, I have video. I have a video on my website that says, hello, welcome to. And I have a video on my fan page on Facebook that says, hi, welcome to my fan page. Great. That's a start. That's just the start. Other ways that you can use visual media, and all of this, by the way, can be marketed online, and it's awesome for, you know, increasing your search engine, you know, for being able to be found, search engine optimization. But did you ever think, if you have a frequently asked questions, videotape your answers to the frequently asked questions? And then you can multi-purpose that by putting those up as tips on your social media and putting that on your YouTube channel. And you should have a YouTube channel. It's not difficult. If it's if not understanding it is stopping you, find a young kid that will do it for you. You can pay them $20 an hour or whatever. They'll have it set up. They can set it up quickly. And as you get your videos done, have them upload it. To be honest, I don't deal with it. I don't do mine.
Yeah,
I have
my 14-year-old has 500,000 hits to his YouTube channel. Like, you got to be kidding me. That's all you have to do. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, the 14-year-old crowd is your, and they're great for $20, too.
Exactly, right? Exactly. And, you know, here's the thing. You're running a business. You don't, you know, if it's not absolutely necessary, you know what they say. Do what you're good at and, you know, and delegate the rest. And if it comes down to, hey, you know, loading up stuff on YouTube, I get the messages and stuff from YouTube and I correspond with people, but I'm not going to spend the time to upload my videos to YouTube, even though it is simple. I have somebody else do that. But it's effective, and it's important to understand that whatever's holding you back from using video, be sure that you get over that or find a way to solve it. Because basically I listen to statistics and people that do research on internet and video, of course, as often as I can. And a few months ago now, I heard somebody on a conference call use a statistic that if you don't utilize video within the next, they said, 18 months. Now it would be more like 13 months. If you're not utilizing video on your website and your competitors are, within 13 months, it would be now, which is not much more than a year, folks, you will be so far behind your competitors that you may not be able to catch up. In other words, you can lose your business if you are not utilizing video and visual media, because that is the format that people want to have their information delivered. Like it or not, we're not reading so much.
No, we're not. No. Yeah, I completely agree. That was, you know, that was one of the reasons why I did this radio show, is because one of my goals in life is, you know, I love the talk show host format. I just really do. I love to interview people. It's my favorite thing in the world to do. But with TV, it's a little frustrating unless you're, you know, highly, highly funded. You know, it would be very hard for me to fly you all the way to Maine or me all the way to Los Angeles, a hotel, all the setup, you know, all that stuff. And so, you know, I love this format. But Skype is kind of neat, too. You can actually record. You know, like, really, if we wanted to do this, you wouldn't want to see me right now. But if we wanted to do this radio show via Skype, we could have done that. But, you know, let's talk about hesitation for a little bit. I've been hesitant. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that means every time I've got to do my hair, I've got to do my makeup, I've got to have the right lighting, I've got to have the right clothes, I've got to lose 20 pounds.
Okay, radio. I hear that a lot.
So, yeah, I saved the big one for last. Let's talk about some of the things that hold people back, and one of them is weight. It really is, and it holds me back sometimes, too, because, you know, I just am not Miss Skinny Mini. I'm not real heavy or anything, but I look at myself on camera and I go, oh, my God, you need to lose 50 pounds. What's that 10-minute or 5-second quick thing to lose 10 pounds? Is it like dressing in all black and putting a bag over your head?
No. In fact, it's funny. Everybody wants to wear black because they think that it's thinning. And I have a stylist who works on my team. Her name is Lauren Solomon from LS Images. And it's funny. When she first met me, I was wearing black. And she's a New Yorker. And, you know, New Yorkers can be very just they say what they mean. And that's it. So she told me what she thought of the black, and I was like, oh, you know. But in the end, she's absolutely right. And to this day, if I go to reach for something black in a store, I can hear her I can feel her telepathically slapping my hand. And the reason is, on camera,
no because you know lines. Is that it?
It gives you no shape. Well, here's the thing about black on camera. It can be, if you're doing a high fashion thing, it can look very high fashion, black top effect, or it can look, you know, it doesn't light your face. And that's really what it comes down to. Very, very few people have the coloring that black looks unbelievably awesome on them. Most people require a color. What's that?
I said I don't have to go back and redo that interview I just did in that black suit.
Well, not necessarily. You know, you can wear black with a lovely pop of color as a shirt or something, or even, you know. But all black can have a different connotation for people. Because color does create reactions in us, whether we realize it or not. It can be completely subconscious, our reaction to color. And it's true that black doesn't lighten. It doesn't bring out the color in your skin. So for me, you know, I thought I was wrong. I thought I was on it. I didn't need a stylist. I've been doing TV for so long. I know what's good for me. So I thought I wear green. Yeah, I know. I wear tan and I wear green. Well, I was wearing khaki. I was close. Huh? I was wrong. So if you work with somebody that really understands color, and I don't mean just going down to the local mall when they're doing your, you know, the are you a winter or a spring kind of thing. That's helpful. But to really work with somebody that takes you and goes, okay, in your eyes, and you can have really dark eyes, but even in your eyes, if you have dark eyes, there are colors in there. It could be purple. It could be blue. If you really stare into somebody's eyes at a very close range, there's colors. Those colors are the ones that will bring out your magnificence and make you feel fantastic. I started switching from khaki to actually a true green. And anytime I wear that color, people say, oh, my gosh, you're so pretty, or you look so great, you look so rested. If I wear khaki, they either say nothing, which is not
that's
good,
interesting.
Or they say,
yellow.
You look tired.
Yeah, no, I get you look tired in brown, but look great in yellow. Yellow. It's very interesting, yeah.
So it may be that we don't, you know, whenever we wear those colors, we notice. So here's the thing, wear more of those colors. That's probably the color you should be wearing. And when you do that, it looks magnificent. Black can be very slimming, but it's actually, a lot of times, it's more style than anything else. So for me, you know, there are parts of my body that I'm very self-conscious about and I think can look very heavy on camera. So I wear a certain cut in order to highlight, you know, to hide the stuff, and everybody does. You know, even the people that you think are perfect in their bodies, you know, Hollywood, they still wear certain styles and certain designers because they understand that designer's clothes fit them in the right places and hide the stuff they want to hide.
Yeah.
So,
and,
you know,
speaking of hiding things under clothes, I got to tell you, God bless Spanx. It's a little mini commercial for Spanx. That's best catalog in the world, and it really does, you know, if there's something on camera that you're doing, it slims you down. It takes off 10 pounds.
So it does. I have even some of my the thinnest clients that I have that love those things. And I look at my thinnest clients and go, why are you even wearing that? But it makes them feel good. It makes them feel good. And if honestly, I said mindset is so important. If you feel 100% about the way you look, if you feel good about the way you look, it's one less thing you have to worry about, right?
Oh, yeah. How about posture? You know, the other day I did an interview, and there was a great comfy couch, and I just wanted to lean back in it and take a snooze while we were on air. I mean, it was just great.
Yep.
It's
hard
but
to fight that.
But I found myself sitting on the edge of it.
Yeah, as you should. And you were smart about that, Elizabeth, because it's very, very easy to have, you know, somebody sit you in a nice chair, you want to just snuggle up in it. But the read of that is that you could be considered lazy, or you could lose your energy. Most, you know, that's the scariest thing, is when you get comfortable, your energy level will drop. And on camera, that's not always a good thing. So you want to be able to keep looking like you're engaged, stay on the edge of your seat, because you want people on the edge of their seat for your information. So if you're sitting back and getting all comfy, they'll sit back, get all comfy, and it's not necessarily, you know, the reaction that you want to have. You want to be exciting and stimulating, and so you do want to be sitting kind of on the edge and not being sucked into that sofa, because it can happen. And as soon as your energy level drops, you know, you're not going to be able to create the state that you want and the people that, you know, you're trying to create rapport with, which are the followers, which are your audience, it's the people on the other side of the camera lens, whether it's an interview or your own video. So you do want to be sure that you sit up straight, and it's very easy. I catch myself slouching, and I'll look back and I'll watch a take and go, oh no, I gotta straighten back up. Think of a string pulling your head straight up towards the ceiling, and kind of get used to that position, get used to that posture, because that's a strong position, that's a strong posture to have, and an expert has to be coming from a position of strength, mentally and physically.
So if your posture feels awkward too, you know, like it's too straight, it's probably just about right.
Yeah. And the more that you can watch yourself, again, it's that watching yourself back, you realize what looks good and what doesn't. And all of a sudden, when you click into that posture that is the powerful posture, you'll start to own that. And that's what I mean by the phrase owning your space. You start to own that power that you have when you're relaying your information. And that comes in handy not just when you're in front of the camera, but like you said, when you're in front of people, when you're networking, when you stand up at an event and you say what you do and what the name of your company is. If you have that ability to click into that powerful posture, that will work for you in so many different areas of your life, not just when you're in front of the camera.
Yeah. I want to keep focusing on looks for just one more second. I realize, you know, looks are you know, not the whole name of the game, but, you know, really, if sometimes people click it off if you don't look right. You know, it just is what
it's
it is.
It's visual media.
It's a big deal. Let's go to girls for a minute and talk about the stress that comes from. Like the other day I was getting ready for this interview, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't have a professional makeup artist. I'm going to put my hair extensions in maybe, or should I put my hair back, or should I put my hair down, or I don't know what to do with my hair. If you're in that zone where you're just not quite there, where you don't have, you know, a $500 makeup artist following you around and foofing your hair off and putting your makeup on, what exactly are maybe like five things or so that people can take away to know to do, like put mascara on or eyeliner or foof your hair up or, you know, those kinds of little things make you look better?
In general, what you said before, which is when you think it's overdone, you're probably just about right. And it's the same, like I said, with your energy level. Everything should be just a little bit more. You don't want to go, like if you're somebody that wears a lot of makeup, for goodness sakes, don't go, you know, too crazy with it, because you don't want to look scary on camera. But most people, I find, walk around pretty naturally. And so you do need to pop it up. You need a little extra blush. You need a little extra coverage. You just a little extra powder. You don't want to be shiny. You need to pop it up a bit. And if you don't know how to do that, or you're really uncomfortable with it, and as you said, most people can't afford, you know, $250 to $500 to have a makeup artist go with them to these things or to have them work them up on camera, go once. Have somebody do your makeup once. Somebody that comes referred, it's very good. That, you know, preferably somebody who has been on camera, really likes, and say, I'd like you to do my makeup once and show me what you do. Take notes, take photographs, and go home and recreate it yourself. At least you have a guideline, you know, and you pay them once, and then you can work on recreating that. If you ever have a special occasion where, you know, you're going to be out and it's a big opportunity, a media opportunity, it's good to have somebody like that that you can call on. But I did a photo shoot yesterday, and my makeup girl came here. And I was, you know, I'm going to be on camera this weekend for another media trainer, helping another media trainer. And she's going to have me on camera. And I thought, oh, let me just look at what she's doing, because she did a little something different with my makeup for the photo shoot. And so I looked real quick to see what color she had used. I asked her a few things, and I'm going to try to recreate the look that she did for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it comes down to it, if you have a big media opportunity, it's worth having somebody come and do your hair and makeup, because it's the last thing that you want to be dealing with. If it's a big deal for you to go to a studio and shoot that special, you know, video for your website, and you have a professional team doing it, and it's a, you know, you're spending money on the professional team to shoot your video, by all means, hire somebody to do your hair and makeup, because that way, and preferably somebody that comes referred, it's good, that you know you can feel comfortable with and you feel like yourself, but prettier when they do you, because that's the last thing you want to be thinking about. You don't need to be stressed
out. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's, you know, one of the tips I do, it depends on what I'm doing, but I'll hire even just the local hair salon to maybe blow my hair out the night before so it's straight.
Yeah,
you know, and I can
poof
it up, tease it or whatever. And then, I've been in pageants before, too, so I kind of got the makeup thing down, but a local makeup counter is a good thing too. Those girls at a makeup counter at the mall or something, they know how to put makeup on, you know, Sephora or whatever.
Sure.
There's all sorts of resources like that that are even free if you don't even have the $250. So, you know, because
absolutely,
especially me as a
mom, and then
they're
not all.
A lot of us are mommy blogging or mommy videoing, and you know, like I have four kids here. The last thing I'm going to do is spend $500 or even $200 on my hair and makeup.
Exactly.
So I kind of do my little maneuvering to get what I need and have it good enough.
But if
it's a huge deal, and if you're going to go beyond like the Today Show or something like that, they probably have people there that will help you do your hair and makeup.
Right, right. Or even, you know, my business coach created a community, and she was doing a video to announce the community. But this was a video that she was paying somebody a lot of money to make something very high quality for her website, and it was going to be on this community website for a couple of years to come, most likely. And it was a big deal for her. She certainly called me and said, who can I bring in that would be good for makeup, because I don't want to do it myself. And she's a very natural woman, you know, and so for her, that was a big deal for her, and I absolutely think that that's what she should do. But the other way, go to the mall and just, you know, the most important thing is, if you go to the mall and they put a color on you that you don't like, don't think it means that you can't wear makeup. I have seen this happen.
Oh, yes.
Okay, because they'll put extra on you and you're uncomfortable and like, I can't do this. Don't let that stop you. Make sure that that you find what makes you feel good, not what they're trying to sell you. If they put something on you you don't feel comfortable and say, thank you, I'm not comfortable with that, do you have anything lighter? Start where you're comfortable. You want to make sure that you feel pretty in your own mind. You know what I mean? It's not. So, you know, there are some really good people at the mall that you can get to do your makeup, but there are also people that really maybe don't know you quite so well and will try to sell you product and just hold you around and go, no, I'm not comfortable with that. It's okay.
And they do all powdery blue, beautiful powdery blue eyeshadow.
most people don't look good with that.
Let's go back to the charisma part of you. This is a really neat phone call, too. I'm so glad we worked out all of our technical.
Thank you.
I don't know, my computer or yours, but this is really interesting. And I think it's so neat for women to know who you are. And one of the things I'm most impressed about you, I'm going to throw out some compliments here, is that you're really real and reachable, too. You're not like, oh, I've been on a soap opera, I'm so cool, you know. You're normal, and that's refreshing, because, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get when you need somebody's help, if they're really going to help you or if they're kind of, I think that's really cool about you, that you've done all these really neat things, but, you know, you're just one of the girls.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, part of that comes from understanding, like I said, my past up to here was very difficult. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I would be teaching people how to be comfortable on camera or teaching anybody, I would have thought you were out of your flippin' mind. Because there was just no way that I could envision that. I was going through, it took me 7 years and 13 different coaches for me to understand that being myself on camera should feel like nothing but fun. And in that path was so difficult for me that I think I can understand where people are at any level of fear or inhibition or just discomfort. You know, I mean, I take it all the way from understanding the anxiety attacks that they're having all the way up to, gosh, I'm frustrated. I just don't feel good. Okay, fine. I understand every level of that. And as far as like the celebrity thing, it's hard for me to think I'm a soap opera, you know, person, whatever, I've been on camera.
Yeah.
Because I live in Southern California. I mean, I go out to dinner with people that have won, you know, Academy Awards. It just doesn't, like, to me, there's always somebody that will kick your butt in whatever you're doing here in Southern California.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the way it is. And it's so up and down, you know, just because somebody is on camera. I've been on shows where I showed up in somebody, you know, nighttime shows where I showed up on your TV every single week, and people are like, oh my gosh, she's doing so well. The secret was, it was not paying me that much. I wasn't paying my rent. But yet,
yeah,
I was showing up on your TV every week. So you
awesome.
Don't know.
You don't know. Yeah.
Let's talk about
one more thing. Let me see here what time we have here, because we've got about 8 minutes left, just so you're aware of the time going on. That's been a fast hour. Wow. The charisma part. Let's talk about your message. One of the things that I see on the internet over and over and over again that I really honestly kind of go click off is people droning on and on and on and on with what they think is this like incredibly important message. And it might be to them, but maybe it's perhaps delivered the wrong way or too long.
Yes.
How long should you sit in front of your webcam for and talk?
Let me give you an example of how short our attention spans are on the web. Now, you know, I have a background in soaps, and soaps are a half hour, most of them are an hour long on TV. Once they transition to when the beta series launched, which is a show that we're doing now, the indie web series that's online, our shows are 5 minutes long, the entire show.
Yeah.
So, we've taken an hour long format and split it up into 5 minute sections, and that's about the tolerance that people have online. When you're doing a video for your business and you're trying to get across a point and influence people, and basically you have a call to action, whether it's click the like button or, you know, buy this DVD or sign up for my program, my webinar, whatever it is, you have a call to action. You need to get there quickly. You need to excite people, and it should be done in less than 2 minutes. I have people that do videos as short as 30 seconds. I don't suggest, unless your initial, if you have an initial video that says, I'm going to deliver you content,
mm-hmm. Can you hear me okay? Oh. That was interesting. That's funny. Our phone is gone. Maybe, I think. Let's see here. Can you hear me okay? I'm going to call back in. Well, if I call back in, it'll end the episode. Okay, well, I'm going to end the episode, I think. Oh, okay, maybe she'll call back in. That was interesting. That happens sometimes on our phone calls where the call drops. But we have 6 minutes left, and I'll see here. I'll hang on for a minute and see if she's going to call back in. In the meantime, you know what? This is a great time for a commercial. Let's promote Gabe Berman's book, Live Like a Fruit Fly. I've been sitting here with a back problem for like 10 days. And I'm finally feeling better, but while I was down and out, I was reading this wonderful book, and it's called Live Like a Fruit Fly, The Secret You Already Know by Gabe Berman. And he's on Facebook, and he's got his website and everything, and it's such a great book. And I love this. It's What Does It Mean to Live Like a Fruit Fly? And it's just about, you know, seizing every day and living life to your fullest, and it's a great, great book. So I don't know if we're going to have Sandra back in. Yep, hang on 1 second. There she is. Are you there?
I am here.
Yeah, there we go. Now
back.
I can hear you. Yeah,
it
I
was
know,
holding
the phone
back. It
out.
Was horrible. I felt like I was kicked out.
Because I did a commercial while you were gone. I waited for two. I love radio silence. Silence is sometimes beautiful, but on the radio it's always interesting. But I did a little promo here for Gabe Berman's book. I think you would love this book too. It's called Live Like a Fruit Fly. I've been sitting here for like. Oh, it's awesome. I've been sitting here for like 7 days, 10 days, probably 10 days now. In the past two, I've been kind of up, but I hurt my back something fierce, and work was stacking up, and I have all these books to review for Best Ever You, and I'm sitting here going, live like a fruit fly. What is that? So I picked it up, and I swear to God, he's going to be the most famous guy ever. This will probably be like college required reading.
I love it.
Oh, it's awesome, and it's just a good book. So. Live Like a Fruit Fly by Gabe Berman. You need to buy that book and tell everybody about it.
He's
a super, super nice guy, too. That's the thing of it, just a really super person, so real positive. And, you know, it's basically kind of like about, like, seizing the moment and living your life to the fullest, kind of like what you do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're doing it. Yeah. I mean, do what you love, and, you know, life is good. Okay.
Yeah.
So we were in the middle of talking about the 2-minute spiel is pretty much all you have
right.
for people.
And the timing. Exactly. So real quickly, just to say, if you're doing an initiative, if you're introducing a product, the video should be a minute to 2 minutes. Or if it's a hello, how are you, welcome to my website, minute, 2 minutes tops. If you have already got their permission and they've clicked on a link to get more information from you, then you can go up to 5 minutes with information. But an initial, like, I would never, because I know that there are people listening that do the same thing as me. Somebody goes, click on this video. I'll click on it, and the first thing I do is I look down to see how long is it, because the little numbers come up at the bottom.
Yeah.
And if it's over 4 minutes, I'm like,
And so, what if it's like, I run into this a lot, you know, like let's say I got on my radio show I'm never going to do this, but let's just say I did. I got on my radio show and I decided I have an all-consuming message and it needs to go out for the full hour. There's tons of people doing that. Is that wrong or right? I mean, really, for me to sit here with no interaction from any other human being and just go, you know, Sandra, let's be your best. Let me give you 99 steps to be your best. And over the next 60 minutes, we're going to cover one a minute.
Right.
Are people going, oh, my God, quick?
Well,
or is that a good use of time?
You know, it's not if you have their permission. Like, I actually, I had a radio show for Charisma on Camera. I have one now, but it's actually for my passion. It's not for my work. I do a wildlife conservation radio show, which is separate from Charisma on Camera, but it's just something that I'm passionate about, so I've got involved with that. So my Charisma on Camera radio show, I didn't have guests. I actually did that, but I had their permission because I would invite them to it. And if they clicked on it and wanted the information, I knew it was okay because I had invited them to it, and they have to actually click on it. To give somebody all that information, like in an email, it's a little much. So as long as they have, if you do a quick video saying, hey, if you're interested in this, click here, then take them to the longer information, I think it's perfectly acceptable. But but it's got to be engaging. It's hard to engage somebody for a full hour. It requires different stimulation. It requires different voices. Like, that's why you and I, having two separate voices on this, are good. When I was doing my Charisma on Camera radio show, I think it was 15 minutes. And sometimes me, it was the longest 15 minutes because it was just me.
That's what I think, too. I'm like, an hour. Oh, my goodness gracious. I couldn't sit and talk to about what I don't know. I'd end up talking about the fly on the wall or something. I don't know. But anyway. All right. So we have 1 minute and 40 seconds left. Is there anything, here's the list, anything I haven't asked you really fast that we should talk about, or should we just kind of wrap it up?
Well, I guess the one thing that I wanted to offer to people, too, is that for your listeners and only people that I meet in person or for your listeners, I'll do this. I have, similar to what we're doing right now, where we're talking about ideas and how to formulate something and you're asking how do people do it on their own, I have a teleclass that's starting. And what I can suggest is contact me through the website. It'll be posted. All the information will be up on the website. It's actually not up yet. But your listeners can, it's $1,000 value. So it's 4 weeks long and it includes a private consultation with me. So your listeners will get it for $49. But I would say send a little note to me through the website so that I can include you guys on that discount. Include your listeners on that discount. So that's just
right, so we got 30 seconds.
Website.
All right.
Refer to you and Best Over You, and I'll make sure that they're on that list.
All right, so cool. All right. Well, thanks. That was cool with the phone dropping, too, because we love to do that on the show because we keep things real. It's very funny.
You keep things moving.
We're real. We're real people. All right, so that was – I thank you so much for being with me. And, I, you know, you've been here for an hour. It's Sandra D. Robinson, and her website is charismaoncamera.com. And just an awesome, awesome resource for on TV and being on the Internet talking. So thank you. And
thank
everybody
–
Yeah, click on besteveryou.com, click on her website, charisma.com, and have a great day, everybody. Thank you.